Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is a little something I've been working on. It's new. I call it A Blues for Nina. Be your slave. I've got to admit, girl, you're the shit, girl, and I'm digging you like a grave. Now, do they call you daughter to the spinning pulsar, or maybe queen of 10,000 moons, sister to the distant yet rising star? Is your name Yemiya? Oh, hell no, it's got to be Oshun. Ooh. Is that a smile me put on your face, child? Wide as a field of jasmine and clover. Talk that talk, honey. Walk that walk, money. High on legs, that'll spank Jehovah. Who am I? It's not important. But they call me brother to the night. And right now, I'm the blues in your left thigh, trying to become the funk in your right. Who am I? I'll be whoever you say. But right now, I'm the sight-raped hunter, blindly pursuing you as my prey. And I just want to give you injections of sublime erections and get you to dance to my rhythm. Make you dream archetypes of black angels in flight upon wings. Distorted, contorted, metaphoric jism. Come on, man. Fuck your man. I ain't worried about him. It's you who I want to step to my scene. Because rather than deal with the fallacy of this dry ass reality, I'd rather dance and romance your sweet ass in a wet dream. Who am I? Well, they all call me brother to the night. And right now, I'm the blues in your left thigh, trying to become the funk in your right. Is that all right?
I couldn't ask for a better intro than that. Hello, O&E family. This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is the O&E Host Intern Show, and I'm your host, Poetic Jules. We're on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, and I want you to dial in now, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Again, my name is Poetic Jules, and I have three guests that I'm going to bring on today. My first guest being the incomparable Emuna Jay. Emuna Jay is a freelance writer. She is. That was very nice.
All right.
Okay.
You there?
Give me a second. I'm right. Having a little bit of technical difficulties. Work with me. Y'all know this is my first show. Emuna Jay, her bio. This is Veronica Square, Emuna Jay, her stage name. She's a wife and a mother of two from Louisiana that is currently working as a freelance writer. She loves all aspects of writing but takes a special interest in poetry and short stories. Blogging, podcasting, and drawing are also her other hobbies that bring her peace of mind and a sense of fulfillment. She feels as though her purpose is to uplift others while sharing her stories of struggle that ultimately made her stronger. She has a podcast entitled Elevating with Emina J on Anchor, as well as other platforms, a blog entitled Emina J's Expression, and she hosts a live show that airs bi-monthly on Facebook entitled Talking Trash with Class. Her goal is to become a published author and a motivational speaker. Emina also has a group on Facebook created for women called Fearlessly Phenomenal Woman. I'd like to bring her on now. Emina J, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm a little nervous, but we're going to get through, aren't we? We're going to have a great time.
Oh, yes, all good. Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for inviting me to kick it with you tonight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, Emina, I'd like to talk about, I'd like to get straight into Emina. I want you to tell us about you. How did you get into writing? What inspired you to start writing?
The very first thing, to be totally honest, Dr. Seuss. I liked to read when I was a little kid, you know, and the first story that I can actually remember is Dr. Seuss with Green Eggs and Ham. And it just fascinated me, you know, his wordplay and the way he made everything funny and it rhymed and it just went so well together. So my first passion for writing was actually writing short stories. But I really didn't get into poetry until I was like 14 years old. I mean, the movie Poetic Justice came out, and, you know, it had the Janet Jackson reciting the words by the lovely Maya Angelou. I mean, who could not be wowed by that?
But,
at the time, I thought that was Janet Jackson's words. I was like, man, that's hot. And my sister was like, girl, that's not Janet. And I was like, well, who's that? And she was like, that's Maya Angelou. And I was like, oh, so really? I really didn't know anything about poetry until I was 14 years old. But once I heard it, I fell in love with it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I've had a chance to go over a lot of your work, and I just find you to be such a powerful author. Some of your works, including those on some of those works that I had an opportunity to go over on YouTube, were very interesting to me. You have this thing about you telling stories, delving deep into Victoria and presenting her to us rhythmically in all of your vulnerability, and I love it. I think it's beautiful. You wrote a work called All Natural. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I was a person at one time that did not embrace my beauty at all or anything good about me for that matter. I had the low self-esteem thing going and everything like that. I always put piles of makeup on my face and extensions. I just could not see my natural beauty. And I really didn't get into it until I was a lot older. And natural hair was the thing, because when I was coming up, you didn't hardly see anybody rocking natural hair at all. There was like one girl that went to my school that had natural hair. Everybody else, you know, it was either relaxed or extensions or things of that nature. But once I did, you know, decide to go natural, I wasn't too crazy about the texture of my hair. And unfortunately, neither is society, right? I mean, they try to tell us to go everything but natural. But once I started showing my hair some TLC, and I started seeing how lovely 4C curls could look, I was like, oh, this is what's up. And, you know, I kind of took it from there, and I wanted to inspire other people to embrace their natural beauty as well. And it's not just a Black thing. I think that everyone needs to embrace the natural beauty of themselves, because everybody deals with it from a different perspective, because we're all different, yet we're all the same at the end of the day. So.
Absolutely. And then we have, like, I saw a meme on Facebook, and it says something like, I need to be skinny, I need to be taller, I need to be, and then at the end of it, it says I need to be myself. And I think that that is always an issue for us. And I think that you, yourself, being able to be yourself is like such a task. And for you to be able to be yourself is such an accomplishment. And so, you know, I respect that about you, and I commend you for that. I'd like to, if you would, get into some of your more recent writings. Anything that you have in mind that you'd like to share with us?
Well, at one time, it seemed like everything that I wrote about was, it stemmed from the emotion of pain, which necessarily isn't a bad thing because, I mean, poetry can make pain appear to be so beautiful, right? But as I called, you know, I looked in my poems and I saw so much sadness, and I just was like, wow, you know, it was overwhelming. And I hate to say it, but at one time, that was all I wrote about. It was only pain and nothing else. While these days, I still do write about issues with that because I do consider myself a mental health advocate, you know, but I like to have an inspirational twist at the end of my poem so people can know that there is hope through all of that darkness. You can always find your way to the light as long as you have that little hope within you, and it's possible because I was that person that was in that very dark place. So I try to be more inspiring now, you know.
Overcoming.
Right. Because, I mean, everybody goes through it. Everybody goes through something bad, no matter how much money you have, no matter where you're from. You're always going to go through a moment in your life where you will be tested. No one's exempt from that. So we all have to know how to deal with the emotional aspect of it all. You know, once you go through it, and you don't want to stay in that dark place. You want to rise above it, come from it. And once you figure out how to master it, you need to share the wealth and tell the next person how you did it. And it goes on and on and on like a domino effect. That's what my goal is for my poetry.
My favorite word, I like to think about our emotions as things that just come and go. You know, oftentimes we get trapped in them. You know, the society makes such a big deal out of depression or anxiety, or, you know, and there are things that I think just naturally occur. And if we just see them in that way, instead of viewing them as tragedies or things that have to take over our lives, we can let the emotions come. Whatever it is that you need to do to get through it, if it's rest, relaxation, exercise, then that's what you do until you get to the other side. And that's just what we have to do as human beings, because, again, those emotions are natural and they're not going to go anywhere. And so today, I had hoped to highlight overcoming, conquering.
And that's so important, especially now with the pandemic going on. You know, it's so important that you highlight this thing, because there is hope after all the darkness. There is happiness after all the sadness. You know, a lot of people want to run from what they feel is dark or scary. You don't need to run from it, because there's always going to be something. Right, there's always going to be something that's going to scare you, and there's always going to be a moment that's considered dark. Don't run from it, run to it. And when you face it, that's when, you know, that experience is going to toughen you up for the next thing that you encounter that might not be so great. It makes you stronger. So embrace it, don't run from it.
Uncovering the best you. Finding yourself, uncovering the best you.
That's right.
I mean, I think you're so powerful. I thought you are so beautiful. You've been of great help to me. I'm on this journey. We are taking this together. This is my first show. And wherever this takes me, I'm sure it can go no place else but up.
That's right.
I presented an opportunity to chase my passion. I don't believe in coincidences. I've never been the best at following rules or following suit or following rules, for that matter. But I do believe that we all have a path, and, you know, that path is not etched in stone, it's in dirt. And it is, again, like you said, our destiny to find it and to make our way to our true selves. Yeah. With all that being said, I would love to get into one of your writings. What have you got for us?
Well, I have one that's it fits the topic very well. It's entitled Still Standing. So here it goes.
All right.
Even though I came a long way, I know I still have a good ways to go. And there's a lot of things I need to work on. Many things that people don't even know. But I thank God that I don't look like what I've been through. But I'm a living testimony because I know the power of what God can do. And believe me when I tell you, I've been through a lot, more bad than good. And at one time, I thought the rain would never stop. And a lot of what I went through was on my own. It was my own fault, as crazy as that sounds. It seemed like my problems went from bad to worse. And I needed a friend so bad, but there were none to be found. I did a lot of stupid things, and I trusted a lot of selfish people. People that hurt me beyond belief and aided to my self-destruction. So at this point in time in my life, I consider myself to be under construction. I'm still getting used to this new aspect that I have on life. And I have to take full accountability of my actions and try to make all my wrongs right. I know things could be a lot worse. I could have ended up in jail or a hearse. And I say that because I almost died by my own hand. I've gone through so many things that people wouldn't begin to be able to understand. Oh, and I just lost my place. Bear with me because, you know, I'm like reading as I go. Okay. Yet, till I stand tall and proud, but painfully humbled, beautifully flawed and proud of my scars, the scars that life gave me from the wounds that I inflicted upon myself. I did so many things that was detrimental to my health. Everyone's needs before my own. And I did that because I wanted to be loved and I was afraid to be alone. But I ended up being alone anyway. And that's when I learned that I needed to do things a different way. I had to learn to love me and put myself first. In doing that, I learned to see myself in a new light, and I no longer question my worth. I'm so glad that I don't look like what I've been through. I'm a living testimony that there is nothing that God can't do for you. And if he did it for me, he could do it for you too. That piece.
Bravo, that was excellent. I love it.
I love it, but I had to keep it going.
Carlo, yeah. we have our first guest on. This is Emina J with me, your host, Poetic Jewels, coming to you out of Lagos, Nigeria, ONE Dynasty. We've got caller one in the queue. Hello.
Hello, peace and blessings.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, I'm Sister Bessie. I'm a fellow host. Welcome to the family, and I am loving you and your guests. Yes, that poem that she did brought tears to my eyes because it, you know, it was like she was telling my story too. So a lot of us can hear, you know, the pain and the suffering that we went through. And, you know, I just love you. And, you know, I wish I could have that poem to read for myself, because I'm a fellow writer too, but a lot of things that I haven't spoken of on my poetry, on my show about my heart and things like that. My stuff is mostly political. But I'm telling you, that poem, what you just did, sweetheart, that helped a lot of women. And I, you know, when you go through a lot of things and you don't realize that you're a gift from the heavens, most of us don't think that, you know, and when you realize that, that the Most High, you are a gift and that you are loved by the Most High. If nobody else loves you, the Most High does, you know, and I had to carry that within my spirit, and I finally got it. And that poem helped me get it some more. You know, and I just want to thank you so much. It touched my heart, and I hope it touched many other people out there. And I just want to say I love your show, Jules, you know, and I'm supporting you, and congratulations, and welcome to the family.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Bessie. I need that. I love that. I love your words. I love you, and I thank you for calling in. I appreciate
you. Thank you for the love.
All right, sweetheart.
All right. Emina Jane, now, if you will, tell us a little bit about something that may have recently inspired you to continue, to keep going, to pushing through. We know that, you know, you spoke of going through some things in your life, and we have our trials and tribulations. We have trials and tribulations in our 20s, our 30s, as teenagers. But more recently, when you decided to come out your shell and be who you are, this powerful, well-versed, fierce writer, who is the person or persons or whatever that you've gone through to help you, to inspire you to be, to travel in this direction and move forward?
Well, I actually would have to say that it was hitting rock bottom. I mean, I had actually reached a point to where I felt like I was so low that the only direction for me to move from that point would be up. You know, things had really gotten that bad. And then, you know, like sometimes when you have, well, I always felt like I needed to have somebody in my corner, whether it wasn't anybody in particular, it just had to be somebody. I had this thing, this extreme fear of feeling alone or not being accepted or even worse than that, being neglected or rejected, you know what I'm saying? So, there was someone that I was really close with, some people that I was really close with, and they catered to my needs as far as that validation that I needed, because I had no confidence in myself at all whatsoever. So it literally took me being, you know, the contact was cut. I felt like I was just, it was just, I had to get up. I had no choice because ultimately my life depended on it. I had to learn to toughen up from that point and lick my wound and move on. And I had no idea how anything was going to turn out at all. I had to completely submit myself to God and step out on faith. And I just had to have belief, you know, in myself that it was going to happen. And that was the point that I saw things beginning to unfold. And I saw that I was capable of a lot of things that I didn't think I could do alone. So I learned how to embrace my solitude. I always thought that being alone or relying on myself was something that I wouldn't like. It was nothing like that. It toughened me up, it educated me, and it motivated me to push even further. So that's basically what it was. And I've been thriving ever since.
I see. I've seen, again, I've gone over some of your work. You've got a lot going on several platforms. I got a chance to go over some of your, again, animated, well-versed poetic tales of terror via YouTube as well. Tell us about some of your platforms.
Well, it started with Nuna Jade.
In her work.
I just, you know, like I said, I like to write. I'm very opinionated, and I don't mind expressing my opinion. So, you know, the first thing I did, I said, well, let me see what doing blogs is all about. That's something easy. I was always confident in my writing. So I created the page, Emina J's Expression. And basically it was just me expressing myself on anything, whether it be racism, politics, religion, anything. I voiced my opinion, and I felt like that was my safe haven for me to just express my feelings how I saw fit. Judgment-free zone, no backlash, and I was embraced well on that platform. So I was like, oh, okay, this is what's up. So, you know, then I went from that to a page that concentrates mostly on the spiritual aspects of things, and it's called Spiritual Renaissance. I was raised Baptist, and then I became Methodist, and then I went non-denominational, and I felt like as I started letting go of some of those traditional things that I learned, I was opened up to learn a whole bunch of new things, and the more new things that I started to learn, the more open came to be, and I became even more encouraged to move forward and try even more things. So I went to podcasting and all that other stuff. It just stemmed from that. It was like the universe just opened up its doors to me, and I felt like a kid in a candy store, basically.
You should, because you're natural. You are natural. You're beautiful. And we've got caller number two in the queue. Hello, caller number two. Caller number two.
Caller number two, you're live right now.
Hi. Okay, so sorry. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. How are you?
Hi, Poetic Jewel. This is the Jersey Jewel, Jerry Petito. How are you?
I'm well, Jerry, and yourself. We've got Emina J.
Listen, I called in because I think you're incredible, and your guest is off the charts tonight. I want to talk to her. I want to talk to you. I have a little poem I want to read, but before I do that, I hope you're sitting down, girlfriend. I want to congratulate O&E Syndicated Host Intern Poetic Jewels on your first O&E Syndicated Station all-time connection record. You heard it here from the Jersey Jewel.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Awesome.
So,
well, thank you.
I think I love your show, and I love your guest. I want to say a couple things real quick, and then I just want to read a short poem for both of you. I'm listening to everything she's saying, and everything resonates. And, you know, your story, putting it out there, of course, you already know this. You're going to be saving lives, and you're going to be helping so many people. And through God, I also became non-denominational. I was brought up Catholic, and then I became born again. And, you know, through God, nothing's impossible. And if He puts us on a path and we follow that path, everything we
right.
went through, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to make us so much stronger. And I know it's made you, because it's made me as well, and I could hear it. So for you two beautiful ladies, I want to read a poem I wrote that's in my book. It's called Face It Till You Make It. I never loved that fake it till you make it stuff. This is called Face It Till You Make It, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Fake it till you make it is a term heard so much. I don't really agree. It's living with a crutch. Not just for addiction and life lessons, my friend, all. That's a saddened life to live until the end. I'd rather go by a saying more real, face it till you make it in spite of how you feel. We got to grow up, put our past behind. In spite of our hurts, there's greatness to find. I'd rather go through life smiling every day, holding up my chin, all good things to say. Positive thinking and actions likewise throw out a force up into the skies. What we project is what we will earn. Karma is real. We each have a turn. Your thoughts are wired to make you think, with what you do can make you sink. Keep all your thoughts uplifting and real. Feeding your mind crap destroys how you feel. So don't put out crap. It comes back to bite. Stand up real tall and just fight the fight. I promise you this. If you face all your fears, it may be quite scary, but will add to your years. One day you'll be happy with who you now are. Just look at me. I've really come far. I look in the mirror and like what I see, but most important, I really love me. That's for you, ladies.
Thank you so much. I know you can't hear me snapping, but I'm snapping. That's beautiful. Thank you
thank
so
you
much for
you.
That.
God bless both of you, ladies. God bless both of you, ladies.
You too.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you. All right, again, we are on air from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. We're on to our next track. We'll be back with you guys in a second.
Walk up in the club, chopper in my backpack. First nigga, baby, I'm a pussy fucking shit tank. Ass big as Texas, and I heard she got that snapback. Break up on a nigga, take his pockets and his cash out. You let niggas stop me, do some wild ass shit. Yeah. You let niggas stay putting on me, broken than a bitch. Hey, grum ho, want some child support to get a half. Got a million likes on Instagram, but really thank you like my bustin'. They bustin'. They bustin'. I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin'. My shoes. They bustin'. They bustin'. I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin'. She like a hot big bus. I pull up in big trucks, sippin' on a big cup. She talk about me, baby, when she see me on a pit cup. Rip your hood, throw it up. They hatin', I don't give a fuck. I don't share my meat, yeah. These little niggas big clowns, I just shake my head. Quiet, but I'm violent, I know how to play. She say she like my bustin', my shoes, they bustin'. They bustin', I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin', my shoes, they bustin'. They bustin', I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin'. I like the way you bust me. Slap you on the ass, talk some shit when I'm loving you. Fuck your baby daddy, cause your baby daddy, he a bitch. I'm a different type of breed, never met one like this. Who the fuck said Lane ain't good up in the hood? Yeah, ride around this bitch with them choppers, who's your nigga woo? Yeah, I don't smoke no .5, 7 grams in the wood. Hey, duck, kick your buck, we gon' beat somebody up. She like my bustin', my shoes, they bustin'. They bustin', I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin', my shoes, they bustin'. They bustin'. They bustin', I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin', my shoes. They bustin', they bustin', I'm bustin'. She say she like my bustin', yeah. I like the way she bustin' it, yeah. I like the way she bustin' it, yeah. Shout out to the wheel, yeah. Hey, shout out to the wheel.
All right, we are back. Imuna J is my special guest today, poetess, powerful, beautiful. I love you, and I'm so grateful to have you today. Imuna.
Yes, ma'am. I'm
okay,
very happy to be here.
Making sure you're still with me.
All right, we've got.
Oh yes, I ain't going nowhere.
Yes, and I want you to stay on because we got our next guest coming on, who is Rowdy D. Solomon. And I know that you are familiar with Rowdy, and I'd like for you to tell us how.
Well, this is the man that gave me my beautiful poetic name. And he was my mentor. I had a list of mentors as well. Well, since he's on the show, I may as well tell y'all a little bit about him. He's a he's a published author. He's a phenomenal poet, and he helped me to come out of this shell. And I learned so much from him as far as poetry and life. And I am very y'all gonna enjoy him. He's very talented, phenomenal. He's very entertaining.
To say the least. Well, I am going to put you on hold. Don't leave us. Stay around.
Y'all stuck with me. I ain't going nowhere.
Excellent. We are going to bring on the ever so eloquent Rowdy D. Solomon. Rowdy D., let me give you an intro about Mr. Rowdy D. Solomon. Rowdy D. Solomon was born on November 20th, 1991 in Macon, Georgia. He is a proud military veteran pursuing a career in writing and journalism. He has been writing since December 17th of 2010. He's published his first book, A Love War, Twisted, in April 2016, and his second book, The Book of Saul, written June of 2016. He published his third book entitled Long Road to the Altar in February of 2017, and his most recent fourth book entitled Vehement on October of 2018. Saul is also a strong and passionate poet who reaches deep to bring important messages to light. I've never met a person who is more engulfed in their craft. It's beautiful, and I'm grateful, very grateful to have made the acquaintance of Rowdy D. Solomon. Rowdy, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction. How are y'all tonight?
Well, we are great, Rowdy, great. Glad to have you. Mr. Solomon, tell our audience something about yourself, please.
Well, my poetry name is Soul, and it is without the U, because it's not just about me, if you catch the metaphor. I hail from Macon, Georgia. I served in our nation's military, as you've already previously stated. I started writing December 17th, 2010, and it's been rocking ever since. Ups and downs, roller coasters, but I love it. So it's not something that you can just, you know, turn off or get rid of regardless of how much you try, when it is not only a gift, but also a blessing. So, once again, excited, elated, and enthused to be here.
No, Rowdy, more than welcome, more than glad to have you. Rowdy, tell me about what inspires you? What keeps you writing?
So many things, honestly. Life in general, the little things. I have to say mostly just the little things. Like being able to breathe, being able to feel, being able to taste, to smell, the senses of the earth, spiritual things, love in itself. And I just love to put things together that most people wouldn't normally put together and try to make them relate, just to bring the world full circle to all who reads, all who hears, so we can connect on a deeper level.
Interestingly enough, as I, you know, I've stated to you several times, you can't help but to speak in parables. You are such a poet from the depth of your soul. I imagine that you'd be in the kitchen just kind of, I mean, where does it come from? And then you're so humble, you know,
Even with cooking, because I do like to cook in my spare time, as you mentioned, the kitchen. So, yes, I even do it with recipes. It's the same thing. You could just imagine in conversation how people look at me sometimes. And it's not on purpose, I promise. For anybody that's ever had a conversation with me, this is how I speak. If you know me, you know this is how I speak. So I apologize in advance if something goes over somebody's head, or you know, it makes you feel stupid or whatnot. Because I just, as you said, engulf myself into this form. I don't just write; I am a poet. That's a state of being. So it's just fun. And it's who I am.
Absolutely. Now, please express to us the difference between being a poet and someone who writes poetry. And Rowdy's words.
Wow. Wow, you have to answer that question. Well, I could relate it in a lot of different ways. We talked about cooking. We talked about writing. So I'll put it this way. When you write, you can just say, like, I write poetry. That's one thing. That means you do things pertaining to poetry, but you're not really a poet. It's not your lifestyle. When you say I am, that's a whole different meaning. Now it's a state of being. Now it's who you are. Now it's how you live. Now you engulf yourself in it. You become abysmal in that thing. So when you say, I write poetry, I can't really associate you too deep into the craft itself. But when you say, I am a poet, I charge you on a different level now, because just about everything you do should involve poetry, whether it's eating, sleeping, breathing, conversation, raising kids, making love, going to your job. It doesn't matter what it is, because you're saying, now I am a poet, meaning that poetry should come out of you in every way possible, even through what you do. So that would be my difference.
Well, a mission statement for ONE Network, and the message that I would love to get across today is one of love to start with. But we all want to keep in mind that at any time we could potentially change the trajectory of someone's life. And I know that, I mean, it sounds like that is a part of your mission statement just as a writer. And on that note, we have caller three in the queue, and I want to get to them, and so we can hurry up and get back to Rowdy D. Solomon. Caller number three.
Yes, hi, how are you tonight, Poetic Jewel?
I am great, and yourself?
I'm fine. That's wonderful to hear. I'm glad to be on here tonight, and I had a chance to get on here and listen to you, because I'm like in a Zoom meeting. But I told you when you called into my show on Sunday that I would definitely listen to you tonight. This is Chinchilla Jonesia from News Forum.
Hey, Chinchilla, I'm glad to have you.
Hi. So I like to keep my word, so I'm here, and I've been enjoying the show. And the poetess that you had on, now what is her name?
The first poet is Imuna J. And
Imuna
we're on
J.
now with Brown. Imuna J, E-M-U-N-A-H, J-A-E, Imuna J.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the young man now, what is his name?
He goes by the name of Soul, but it's Rowdy D. Solomon.
Okay.
Rowdy is author and a poet.
Okay, that's wonderful. And I love poets, poetry, spoken word, artists, and all that stuff. And for Imuna J, and for you as well, Poetic Jewel, it's like for women especially that are into poetry and all of that and very poetic, it definitely comes from within the soul. And, you know, the young man, his name is Soul. So, you know, poetry, it comes from the soul. And I can really appreciate the young lady, Imuna J, with her poetry. And, you know, her poetry, you can see that it is heartfelt. It comes from experience. And a lot of women poets do write from experience. I'm not too sure about all the men, but I know mostly every woman poet I know, they write from experience, life experiences, and I think that is really wonderful. And so to have this show about poetry and bringing on poets, I think it's great, and I truly wish you the best of luck and everything. And I don't have much time to say. I got to get back on my Zoom meeting to close that out. But I do want to leave you with this. Poem for you, for Imuna J, and for Soul.
All right.
And it's about life. Sometimes life can be kind. Life can be undefined. sometimes life can be refined. Life can make you rewind, unwind, and life can even make you lose your mind. But just remember, life, whatever and however, it came from the divine. Now, that's a poem that I wrote, and, you know, and I think that's so fitting for you all tonight, because a lot of poets, especially Imuna Jay, from her story that she told and everything, a lot of people out there, you know, are like suffering. And, you know, for poets and poetesses to take that pain and that bitterness or resentment or anger or loneliness or whatever it is that they're dealing with inside of themselves, for you guys to take that and to use it for a better purpose and to bring about awareness and to allow yourself to be open and share your emotions and your feelings and your memories, you know, of things that you've gone through, to, for you guys to share that with others and with the world to bring about healing and change for them as well as yourselves is just a wonderful thing. So just keep up the good work, okay? And I got to run because I got to get back on the
Zoom
meeting.
All right, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your kind words. Rowdy.
Yes, ma'am.
Soul. I think that when we write, it comes from our soul. I think that it's so hard for people to, again, like Emmy and I discussed, to peel back the layers and to reveal themselves. We all wear the mask. And so when you have poets like yourself, myself, Emina, who are able to peel back those layers and reveal yourself, you kind of serve almost, in my opinion, as like a superhero. You're like leading the way. You're a leader. And, Rowdy, I definitely view you in that way. You're very strong, passionate. You speak out for injustices. You are protecting. And I just gathered that just in our just regular conversations, and I appreciate that about you. I would love for you to give us some of your work so that our next caller who calls in can focus on what you have to offer. Because, Rowdy, you know, you kind of tough. You got some stuff with you. So let us hear about it. Let us hear about it, Rowdy.
Well, I'm getting my website back up and running. As you've already mentioned, I do have 4 books out. I do have a mobile app that you can download for Android right now to look at all of my social media in one place. And I do have a couple of groups that I'm a part of, admins of on Facebook, Gem Drops, Provoking Thoughts, Black Poetry Matters, and also a new one called Poetry University to teach and elevate on the gift of poetry that we have. You know, you don't want to stay stagnant. You want to be versatile. You don't want to get stuck in one style of it or one way of just writing. So just to, you know, I would say magnify your creativity. And magnify what's in you to express it better when you have that chance, whether it be on paper or just speaking abroad. So those are the things that I have going on right now. I also have another CD. I do have one CD out right now called Soul's Love Lessons. You can look at that on YouTube. And I also have a new CD coming out this summer called Sapiophile, bringing sexiness back to intelligence, if no one knows what a sapiophile is. But just trying to push forward, making sure that love is my mission and that it continues to be the front mission that I have. It's not about the money. It's not about the attention. It's not about the podcasts or the radio shows. It's about the building of our people.
All right, Rowdy. And with that, can we get into one of your works, one of your writings?
Sure. I do have a couple. But I do have one that I think defines me more than anything else. I think every poet should have at least one poem entitled I Am Poetry, so I'll read mine. My mind is an incubator. It hatches embryos divinely planted into it over a period of time. These embryos are ideas, topics, and experiences that were fed, nurtured, and given life through my thoughts. These thoughts become words, carefully constructed and crafted, with each syllable having a heartbeat of its own. I speak these words, and they grow arms and legs to position themselves in a precise formation. On a piece of paper, I stare at, with each breath I take, forming a new word, forming a new life, a new beginning. My eyes project these words across horizons too far for the human eye to take notice of. Genres and styles flow through my veins and filter through my heart for approval and editing. For these reasons, I have to keep an open mind, an open heart. Moods for these compositions are set and can be changed instantly by a simple word or phrase. So I must watch what I think, say, and write. These words, lives, could become someone's death if I use them in the wrong way. You see, this gift, this power, is not one taken lightly. It must be mastered and remastered with every new beginning. I's are dotted with my saliva, and T's are across my heart, and I hope to die with a sense of perfection in mind, being perfectly imperfect. With each step I take as my foot hits the ground on an evening stroll, it sinks with the exhale of my breath through the digestive tract and regurgitating onto a page and then later ingested by someone else through their eyes or ears. I must be careful to watch my intake, for I need to be healthy and a living example for those around me. I walk around and people look at me and my contents. They look at me and take me out of context sometimes. You see, they often read me with the adverse perception for what I am really intended to show. However, there are a few with the same like spirit who actually can read between my lines that life has given me for who I really am. However, my goal and my true purpose is to give you something to think about. And since I am full, I cannot leave others hungry. Every texture my hand touches becomes an easel on which words are pasted, painting a picture of a poem I perceive. I have diction at my fingertips, and I have style on my side. It's as if I am King Midas. The only difference is everything I touch turns to poetry. Furthermore, I have not just touched things physically. I've touched lives. I've touched spirits and situations. Ways out have been given by my hand, endowed by the divine power from above. I am a vessel, and my hands are the release valve from the mere stroke of my pen. I can grab hold of anything and open it wide and write what's inside. My hands are analytical. To my eyes, there is never a surprise. And my insides are where my ideas are supplied, and my mind is where they reside. My feet are my vehicle for my eyes and ears to see and look around. And my God is the one who created me to make this crooked mind of mine divine. I am what I write. I simply write what I am. And I live it daily and I sleep on it nightly. This is my life, which is why I can bring life to it. I can even revive other dead ones. When I see them laying on their sides, motionless and hopeless, I simply am the pen I stroke. I am the words I say. I am the periods I put at the end of a line. And even to the end of my line, I will always say, I am poetry.
Roddy, that was phenomenal, and you know it too, don't you? I don't know if
again,
it was.
Again, this is not something I take lightly, so.
Was it meant to be sexy? I'm just trying to get myself back together.
To me, they
Roddy,
are, they are words that leap off the page. You know?
Right.
This isn't something that I just say. This is something that I do every day, not just one day out of the week, not just on air. You know, you can ask anybody that knows me. That love, that feeling that you probably got from the words is something that needs to be heard in every single poem that you ever read. If you don't feel that love, if it's not clicking with you like that, then something needs to be tweaked. Something is wrong. And I just enjoy what I do. I mean, I love every aspect of writing. I love every aspect of poetry, helping others, learning myself. You have to be a student of it. So.
Well, Rowdy, I know that you have a few poems with you, and our time is winding down. And what I would love to do is have you to get into, if you have one available, another one of your writings. Do you have any erotic writings? I do want to touch on that. I have to. I would be doing the audience an injustice in not having you to recite an erotic writing right now.
Well, as I told you, I do have a new CD coming out hopefully this coming summer called Sapiophile, and it's a very hard task that I have at hand, and that is to try to bring sexiness back to intelligence. So if you didn't mind, it is, so to speak, erotic, but in a different way. I would love to recite two parts of that CD for you without the music. And here goes.
Oh, we just want to hear you speak about it. We are, you know, you could do those recipes that you were talking about. You could throw a little rhyme scheme on them, and those would probably be sexy to us. It's just your voice. But go ahead, Rowdy. The stage is yours.
It says, I am a master of mental impulse, inner impulse, an architect of wordplay to build your anticipation for every word I say. Tell me, do you feel the echoes tickling your ears, vibrating your abdomen, curling your toes? It's a natural thing. Don't be alarmed. All I need you to do is breathe in and out slowly and relax in your position. Get comfortable while I quench your thirst, stimulate your state of mind, and feel you, till you want no more. Are you ready? Because I haven't even touched you yet. You see, I know you love the way I use foreplay through figurative language while I'm seducing you with my speech. I love to see you thriving from my tantalizing dialogue, trying to fight your addiction to my diction. Yeah, my vocabulary makes you pulsate, doesn't it? As you drip from my dialect, beseeching me to bring my body closer to yours. I see your desire for me to penetrate in your eyes. Trust me, you don't have to scream at me. Once again, I ask, are you ready? Because I still haven't touched you yet. Or have I?
Oh, you have. Oh, you definitely have touched me, Rowdy. That was phenomenal as well. Oh, my God. Just hold on. Give me a second to get myself together. Is everybody okay out there? Rowdy, you are a writer. A poet. You really embody the craft, and I'm so grateful to have had you on to share your writings with us, to share yourself with us. I want to, before we wrap it up at all, I want to make sure to touch on December 17th. That was a huge day. Rowdy Solomon spoke out and said that he was going to put down the pen. And I was devastated. I was trying to figure out what could pop. There's nothing. It's impossible, you know. Again, you eat, sleep, you drink this stuff. Tell us about that day.
It was a heck of a decision to make. In term, in short, you know, sometimes you just grow weary. You know, the good word says do not become weary in well-doing, of course, but, you know, we're all human. And
absolutely.
Sometimes we need a break. Sometimes we just need to step back for a while. And in all honesty, based on so many physical factors and so many material and financial factors, I was like, maybe this is it. Maybe I should walk away from this because I'm losing more than I'm gaining. And then I had to ask myself, are you in it for the business aspect, or do you truly love what you do? So I sat back for a while, and I just simply prayed, and I looked within. And all I saw on the walls of my heart was just poems being written. All I felt conveying itself through my mind was just more verses to put out on paper. So how in the world could I quit something that I have truly just become? And that's when I made the decision. I'm not going to put the pen down, but rather revamp and see what needs to be done. Because this, you know, poetry, just like anything else in the world, it's bigger than me. That would have been very selfish of me to walk away from this knowing the impact that I have on others, not to put myself on this high pedestal or anything like that, but, you know, just to know the people I've influenced and the way that I have put some things into play for others. It wouldn't be right for them or me to walk away from something that I love.
so you would have definitely been doing us all a great disservice by leaving poetry. That's just not, this is your gift. It's not something that you do. It's not a hobby, and it's obvious. And you are, in fact, changing lives. And, again, I appreciate you so much. And we are on air from Lagos, Nigeria. I'd like for you guys to dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. This is your host, Poetic Jews, on the ONE Host Intern Show, product of Beverly Nation. We'll be back in a few.
Back on these only stations right now. Of course, we're out of Lagos, Nigeria. And what more can I say to that? Hadn't already been said. 516-453-9133. What an outstanding show. Poetic, are you there?
I am DJ Olansky. I thank you so much.
She's starting up, y'all. Now, that's the first time she said my name. And y'all know I'm always blessed. I love you and outstanding show. And you got another interview to do. Uh-oh.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want to get him on. Hezekiah Morris. Wait, let me give you the rundown about Mr. Hezekiah Morris. Please. No, we have a little bit of technical difficulty, but I'd like to say that we have had a great show. Again, I'd like to thank my guests. I am Poetic Jewels. You can find me on Facebook at Poets Jewels. My next guest, Hezekiah Morris, is an author of 5 books. Hezekiah,
Lord have mercy. Here we go. Hezekiah Morris is 41, an award-winning author who has been featured in numerous publications. His leadership skills have been apparent from childhood. He was born in Appomattox, Virginia. Hezekiah has one child, Kyla Israel. Despite his trials, Hezekiah graduated from magna cum laude from Skyline College in the computer engineering program with a 3.7 GPA and made the dean's list. Hezekiah has been nominated for Author of the Year 2020 by Black Love Poetry Series and won first runner-up QWERTY Global Community Book Awards. Hezekiah is also the winner of the 2020 S&M Gospel Indie Award recipient for Author of the Year. Hezekiah Morris is an author of 5 books, Restoring Hezekiah, Changing the Generation, Restoring Hezekiah, Me and Only Me, Remember Them Days When We Were Young, and The Player in Me, and The Player in Me Too. Hezekiah writes because it takes him to a place where there's no hurt, no pain, and he can be himself. He feels that he is free to be who he wants to be without anyone judging him. Hezekiah writes because he feels his stories need to be told and to help others who have been through depression, domestic violence, and drug abuse. Writing gave him hope and another chance at life to walk in his purpose. Everybody, please welcome on our next guest, Hezekiah Morris. Hezekiah.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good. Past my bedtime.
Well, you know, we're glad that you stayed a party with us a little bit. Hezekiah, we're not going to keep you on long, just long enough. tell us about your accomplishments so far, your platforms, where we can find you.
You can find me on Facebook as Hezekiah Morris. Instagram is Author Hezzy. Twitter at Morris_Hezekiah. That's mostly based on my platforms that I'm dealing with right now. You can find my books on Amazon, Barnes and Noble's, 3,000 other bookstores. I think that's basically it.
Tell us about you, Hezekiah. Tell us what gave you your inspiration. You started writing. What got you started?
I was incarcerated, and I was just going over everything that happened in my life, and I just started writing. I started from the beginning, from the time I was a little boy and up to the point where I was incarcerated. And, you know, I wanted to shed light on some of the traumas and events that I went through to maybe help somebody else in case they decided or they went through. You know, everybody has a different story, or like some people say they have the same story, but it's how you write that story. It's how you reveal that story, and it's how you get through. See, what might help you get over might not help me get over. And so
Absolutely.
We all have to take different steps and different things just to find that peace within us.
Absolutely. Now, your first books are your autobiographies, and it's a trilogy. You've got Restoring Hezekiah, Me and Me Only, mm-hmm. and then Remember Them Days is also a part of the autobiography.
Yes.
All
yes,
right, so
is.
Tell us a little bit about those.
Restoring Hezekiah, Me and Only Me is about relationships. You know, I was just reflecting over some of the relationships that I was in and what I went through. And at the end of the day, it was still me and only me. But I get some good insights on relationships and, you know, how sometimes us as men, we look at women differently from the one we love to the one that is really for us. We always pick the wrong one, and it's how, because we have this thing in our mind of what our woman is supposed to look like, instead
mm-hmm.
of searching for a heart, you know, we always looking for the girl with the big butt, the big boobs, you know, and maybe that's not for us, you know what I mean? And at the
Absolutely.
End of the day, it's not love, it's lust. So that's what I talk about in that book. And remember them days when we was young. I was I had left home, and I was feeling homesick. So I decided to write a book about me and my homeboys and the times we shared growing up in the hood and all the things that we did. It's almost like a Friday movie, the events that's going on in this book. And it's a great story. It's funny, too. It's real funny.
All right. 3 years. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was just, you know, paying homage to my hometown and to my homeboys. You know, let them know I ain't forget about them.
All right. As I was going to say before, the 3 years, three years out of prison, and you promoted your book. We discussed that, you and I. You went and you did books on it to promote your book. I like to think about that. That, you know, that I thought that was excellent. Tell us about that. Tell us about the way that you promoted your book.
Started back in 2017. I started doing the college tour on the East Coast. I did Columbia University, Howard University, Georgetown, University of Pitt, Temple, University of North Carolina, University of Georgia Tech. I did all them universities. And it's so amazing when you do a college. Everybody's like, how did you get a college book signing? Well, I just called the bookstore. It's like, I want to do a book signing there. It's that simple. But it was the experience of a lifetime. I wouldn't trade that in for nothing. That's what I'm thinking that we are all missing out this year since the COVID-19 is actually going to do a book signing. That's the most wonderful experience you can, as an author, I feel. Because, you can do virtual, but I'm not doing a virtual book signing. I'm not doing none of that. I like going to an actual book signing. Because who says you're going to sell a book on a virtual book signing? You pay $40 to go to a virtual book signing. Who says you're going to sell a book?
Right.
And when you actually doing a college book signing, it's great. You see your sign. They put big signs up with your picture on it. And you just, you're excited. Like, here I am. I'm a felon, but here I am at Columbia University, one of the most prestigious universities in the world. You know, and I got a book signing here in the heart of New York. You know, and it's again, Howard University and Georgetown, you know, prominent universities.
Well, I'm glad that you had an opportunity to have that experience. I could only imagine how you felt. It's like even if nobody was standing out there, you see a name up there in lights. It's like you hear the crowd, even if they don't exist. Everybody is saying, hey, Zeke, you know? Like,
yeah, oh my God. I mean, you are just pumped. I was at Howard University. I had one person come. But he said, he looked at the book, he said, hey, I'm going to give you $50. I sold one book today at Howard University. And then he gave me a letter. He said, I would like for you to speak at the jail in Chesapeake. And then I went to Georgetown University. Then I went across the town to Georgetown the same day. And three ladies came by. They was like, you got your own bookstore. We don't want to pay the bookstore. We want to give you the money direct. And they paid like $35 each for one of my books. That was like an eye-opening experience. And it was fun, you know?
I could only, and I look forward to it. I'm not going to say I could only imagine. I definitely look forward to having the experience myself. And see, with you being on the show, you're giving other people who are looking forward to writing. You just gave them a heads up. You know, like that's the way. That was the way that you were able to promote your book. I don't know if that was what led you to your Today Show interview. You know, you've done 100 podcasts. You know, you have probably been of so much inspiration to inmates or people who are coming out of prison who think that, you know, they don't have a future. And you were able to accomplish these things for yourself.
that is just such an excellent testimony that you have, and we appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, I want to move on to some of the things that you discussed in your book about, again, we want to focus on overcoming ascension, overcoming the traumas, and moving forward in who we are, or where we are today. There was something that you talked about that I liked, and it was about being a part in our families, in our communities, having those dark skin and not feeling accepted amongst our own family members. Like in my family, they would speak often about our great-grandmother, who was as dark as the bottom of my shoe, but she didn't like dark-skinned children, you know. We suffer now in our community from these extreme levels of self-hate, and, of course, that's where it started at. Tell us about your experience.
You know, growing up, I was the like, darkest one in my family. And, like, going to school, I used to get teased or called Blackie and stuff like that. So I had low self-esteem at an early age. And then also going through domestic violence at an early age, you know, I was traumatized. And so I always feel I had to be extra, do extra, to be seen, to be heard. But I also was a scared little boy at the same time. At the time that I was supposed to be nurtured, I don't think I was. I was actually fractured. You know, even though my mom was there and she gave us all the love she could, I was a hurt child. You know, trying to process my feelings and process everything that was going on around me, plus dealing with having to come home and go pray to this God that I'm thinking that's terrible. You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to go to church every Sunday when my life is hell? You know?
Definitely. You know, I think that we all have had those times where we question, God, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do want to get to caller number 4, who's in the queue now. We're going to get right back into that same topic. And just a few. Give us just a second to get to this call. Call number 4, how are you? Welcome to the ONE Network. 4?
Come on, call number 4.
Hey, yes. Can you hear me?
Now.
We can. How Hello. Are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing great. Yeah, I had to call in. This show is off the chain. First of all, congratulations. Much respect to your special honored guest, Mr. Hazekiah. You know, you sound real familiar, sir. And in case you don't know, my name is, my tribal name is Huni Barkartun, a.k.a. the Magic Man Haru. I'm also a fellow host here at ONE Dynasty. I just want to say right quick, this is a perfect form. You know, in my mind's eye, it's sort of like a gathering spot for poets and future poets and so many other things. I love the way that you are bringing, you know, like creating an avenue for people to come to on your forum. You know, you make people feel relaxed. I love the flow of it. Your special guest is off the chain. And, again, just congratulations. I'm looking forward. Matter of fact, y'all might even make me pick up the pen again. You know, who knows?
All right. Well, Hezekiah?
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that be of influence to you. I appreciate you calling in. Hezekiah, are you familiar with that voice?
I am.
Okay. Well, we are very grateful to have you to call in, and we appreciate your kind words.
I'm gonna read something from my book, Remember Them Days.
Definitely. We love to hear it. Have at it.
You ready?
I am.
This is like at the end, and I'm winding up. We're winding down all the activities that we did in the book and everything that's going on. And at the end, I wrote like a little, I don't even write poems, but I can rhyme, you know. But it's just, when you write, it's just something you have or it's something you don't have, you know. And then that's all coming together when you're just sitting there writing. And at the end of this book right here, Remember Them Days When We Was Young, I wanted to remind my friends about all the good times that we had. And I call it Remember Them Days. I remember them days we were staying on the corner all day filled with laughter and fun. I remember the days we would buy fireworks and share them with the whole hood on the 4th of July. I remember the days we would meet up at the park and take fruit pictures with the girls. I remember those days where we all looked out for one another and were welcome to each other's house. I remember all the fun times that will always outweigh the bad. We were a band of brothers and sisters who were trying to find our way in this unforgiving world. I know for the girl crew, they have moved on and have had successful lives, each one of them. They are no longer girls, they are women. I have not seen them in years, but I follow them on social media and see that they have grown in so many ways. For us guys, we have stumbled along the way, but in life, no one is perfect. And I think I can finally say, we have found our niche in this here world. Whether it's good or bad, I remember them days when we were young. There it is.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know what? I just couldn't stop thinking about while you were reading. I kept thinking about the Johnny Pump. You know, I don't know where you were raised at, but I was raised in Brooklyn, and that is what our summers consisted of. We cut the Johnny Pump on and have it wide open, and all of us were playing and until the police come and shut it down. But that is, you know, one of those memories that stands out for, I think, all Brooklyn children or children brought up in the city. You know, those things, those memories help to mold and shape you into whoever it is that you become as an adult. You know, it keeps you humble. And I think that is a quality about you that stands out. I think you stand up for yourself. You remember where you came from, and you don't feel like, you don't behave as though you feel it necessary to explain who you are to anybody, because you've already put in the work. You know, that's what I gather from you. I might be wrong, but that's what I gather, and I appreciate that about you. I'm no Dr. Field or anything like that. But you and I talked a little bit about traumas and, again, those molding you into who you are today. And it was on my mind because I said that they are illusions in our conversation. And you chimed in to say, no, my traumas are not illusions, because that would mean that my traumas are not real. And mm-hmm. I didn't go in depth about it, but I knew that I needed to come back to that. I have to. Poetic Jewel has to come back, because one of my biggest pet peeves is miscommunication on any level. So let me go into that. When I use the term illusion, I think that the word trauma and what's the other word that I'm looking for? Obstacles. I think that those are powerful words. And I think that they have to be trumped by a word that's even more powerful. And that's why I use the word illusion, because what we sometimes fail to realize is that those traumas and those obstacles, without them, there's no way that we could be who we are today. So it kind of helps you to reverse and to avoid looking at all that you've been through in such a negative light, and to appreciate it, to embrace it. And so when I use the word illusion, somewhat like, you know, I guess, say illusion, I want to say, if I want to compare that to a mirage in the desert, I do, and I can, because I'm a poet. And when we see that mirage in the desert, although it's not real, it's still giving us the when we see that mirage in the desert, it is giving us the oomph, it's giving us the drive to continue to move forward, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I just wanted to touch on that. Tell me, you told me about where we could find your work at. You told us about and I wanted to get back again. You know, we all grew up with that. That when I was in school, it was African booty scratcher, black stuff like that. Yeah, it was.
That was me.
They were terrible. And do you feel like that? How do you feel like those words and things have? Do you feel like they've gotten in the way of you having those insecurities? Have you been able to overcome them? Have you been able to heal yourself and move forward?
It's a process.
It is. It is.
It's a process. It's a healing process. It's a day by day, a daily reprieve.
Because sure
each day brings different, you know, different feelings and different emotions and different thoughts. So it's just, you know, that's trusting in God to bring you through, because you know without Him you have no power to do nothing without Him. So just leave it in His hands.
You know, you just
and we all human, so we all gonna feel. We all have emotions, so you know it's just some emotions that we go through. We have to suck it up and keep it moving.
You suck it up and you keep it moving, because there's nothing else that you can do. You don't, you know, death is not an option. You just have to suck it up and keep it moving and be the best you that you could possibly be. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in 1-516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is the ONE Host Intern Show, and I am your host, Poetic Jewel.
Well. What a wonderful show tonight. First of all, Hezekiah, how are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. I'm very, very happy about your success. And also, I want to make it plain, this young man was one of our interns here at ONE Dynasty. Thank you so much for coming on this program tonight and sharing your time and your love for writing, Hezekiah.
Thank you.
We definitely appreciate you so much. I appreciate all of my guests tonight. I'm so grateful to have got through this, to even have been able to share this.
You ain't got through it yet. You won't have your final thoughts in a minute. First of all, congratulations to Poet Jules on her first ONE syndicated station all-time connection record as an intern. I keep trying to tell you folks, I'm a machine, jerk. We bring on the best, and, you know, my name is on this, and whoever I bring on, it's all part of ONE Dynasty, and you did an outstanding job tonight, Poetic Jewels. And tomorrow night, on these ONE stations, we come with the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, and not only that, but the 2020 Lifetime Achievement Award of the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame. The one on Twitter that always brings it in, Miss Andrea Presley at National Syndicated Radio, 9:30. Eastern Standard Time on these ONE stations. She'll be interviewing Miss Tori Jules, another one of our interns, Mr. Jimmy Black, tomorrow. So don't miss it. I can't wait for this one. I cannot wait for this one. So that's tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on these ONE stations. And, of course, what more can I say? That Beverly Nation has advertised to ONE, which is Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprises, reaches, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment@wordpress.com, as well as in Gozi Prime Time on that. Bevnet.com. We're in Gozi Tabo for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Gozi at Pinterest and Google Plus. Ola Deli and Malay and Gozi at Facebook, as well as our business page. The ONE Host Intern Show, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or a wonderful program tonight? Donnie Gozi, but my, and gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli, Malay and Gozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio. That's to put us on a constant basis. Listen, we got a lot of callers that try to call in tonight. We appreciate it. You know, we had to get these interviews through. Listen, she'll be back in another month. And do me a favor, you guys be the first ones to press one to talk to her at that time. So we want to thank all the callers in queue. It's been a rough night for the callers. We appreciate you. And now, Poet Jewels, you have 2 minutes left to go in the program.
2 minutes. Do we have any callers in the queue?
No, no. It's Ngozi time. I said to you, 2 minutes left to go in the program.
We got 2 minutes left in the program. I am your host, intern, Poetic Jules. You can, again, reach me on Facebook. My Facebook page is up. My name on Facebook is Poets Jules. And I have a business page on Facebook that's under Poetic Jules. And I would love to hear from you guys. And I am, again, grateful for the opportunity that was presented this evening and for my guests that came on to share in this opportunity with me. I don't know if I'm going to the whole entire 2 minutes, but to our producer, O, DJ Olansky, I appreciate you and your presence. And I look forward to moving forward in this opportunity. Let's see where this takes us in 2021. It's been a great show, a great evening, and you guys have a great night.